Welcome back to the broadcast, the National Intel Report. With John Stadmiller, I'm standing in for him, Chris Gerner, today and tomorrow. And certainly I left John in New York with a thought. Continue, John.
Just when I was at the Boston 4th of July Pops, where they have the cannons go off and the music, and like I say, I was in vision, very good vision of the maestro, and 25-30% of the time I couldn't hear the band because of the helicopters, the boats, and the blimp going over as far as security. And, geez, I know we're going to get home from vacation there, and we've got this Gus Mackerson, like, basketball tournament. We're a little 9,000-populated city, and it's like a nothingness, and the city basically is incorporated with a police department and fire department right in the middle of this Gus Macker operations. And all of a sudden you hear, geez, I got a security tent. You know, you got to get that security tent. And it's just this is getting shoved down our throat, and just people are buying it. It's just crazy because it's like, you know, they spent millions of dollars on that Boston event, and to drown it out with, you know, motor noise of security supposedly when there was nothing going on in there, and they're just creating it. It's just a complete fraud.
Oh, isn't that amazing, though?
Oh, it just makes you sick.
It does, and certainly they've had a lot of years to do their homework, and, you know, many people want to be ruled by a dictator. Many people have no clue about a constitutional republic. Most of them don't even think about state sovereignty and state constitutions. Go ahead.
Did you also hear that the gold was sold just prior to the bombing in London?
No, but I'm seeing a little bit of this. Tell us.
I didn't hear a lot about it, but I understand that a large volume of the royal gold was sold at a big price prior to the bombing, so that when the price dropped, it would be, you know, they'd have a good markup. It's no different like the airport sales of the 9/11 transfers prior to the 9/11 happening.
And yes.
Also, 9/11, I don't know if some people are aware that the building was actually going to fall down because the rivets were never insulated, so the aluminum siding was reacting with the steel rivets. And it was going to have to be reconstructed.
Oh,
taking the siding off and put it back on, and that was actually being orchestrated, and they shut it down in the middle of, like, 5 years prior to the bombing of it because they just didn't think it was feasible to be able to do that. So
wow.
That's another reason why they took it down.
I'll be darned. Well, it's all to those that aren't aware, it's so fantastic, it's hard for them to swallow.
Oh, I agree.
The deception.
Well, it was like when I was in Boston, I'm telling people about, you know, Oklahoma City's, you know, was by the government, and, you know, the cop trying to report it was stabbed 13 times and choked by the rope burn and shot behind the head. And, you know, they're looking at you like, well, what the hell are you talking about? And, you know, that actually a nuke went off there, and they just don't believe it. And the doctor that identified the nuke was killed, or, you know, and usually start telling about 9/11. They say, why the hell are you here in Boston watching this, you know? I said, why not? I said, don't you people understand what's going on and that you're just, you know, your taxes are going up, your things are happening to where, falsely, it's like insurance is going up. Now that we have 9/11, we have terrorism insurance, which is just another money grab.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, if you reported that to the, I've stopped the officials by giving them 9/11 tapes and trying to promote this through the industry. And also, is like, there's a book out there called Life from Plants to Animals to Us. It's by Donald William Scott, who tells that they're actually poisoning us with AIDS in Africa. They kill 8,000 Africans a day, and they've actually poisoned us with a microplasma that creates Alzheimer's and mad cow disease and chronic wasting disease or chronic fatigue syndrome. And
well stated, John. I appreciate your thoughts. Well done. And we'll be right back, listeners, with more of your calls. Stay with me.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadmiller.
And once again, this is Chris Gerner. I'm here for John today and tomorrow. Before we take another call, John in Ohio. Hold on, John. Back to this Friday edition of the Oklahoman. Blair appeals for unity in wake of bombing, and certainly he was hosting the summit of the G8 leaders in Scotland, but it says here, Blair, dressed in a black suit, that the perpetrators of the attacks were using terrorism to express their values, and, quote, it is right at this moment that we demonstrate ours, end quote. Now, keep in mind, in Agenda 21, there is information for decision-making. In other words, how to totalitarianly control everybody by monitoring them. Now, what does Blair say here? Quote, I think we all know what they are trying to do. They are trying to use the slaughter of innocent people to cower us, to frighten us out of doing the things we want to do, of trying to stop us going about our business as normal, as we are entitled to do, and they should not, and they must not succeed, end quote. Now, the point is, what are they going to do about this? They're going to bring about more totalitarian control. When 9/11 happened on September 11, 2001, I certainly said, what's going to happen in the future? We will have roadblock engineers, is what I call them, roadblock engineers. This is all in the works. The NAFTA corridors are going to be toll roads. As a matter of fact, there's information about toll roads being addressed in Congress right now. So directions are coming into place that are very, very ominous. And that is, by design, the Hegelian dialectic in action. So let's take another call, and certainly the number 800-313-9443, John in Ohio, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, hello. I think most of the people listening to these networks on shortwave agree that 9/11 was an inside job to justify longstanding plans to attack countries, starting with Iraq for a Washington-based world hegemony. This was all stated in the Project for a New American Century.
Yes.
And a good source I would recommend is the site 911.org, 911.org, using the numbers 911.org.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a real problem because I think that people have got to realize that just as the phony terrorist pretext is being used to justify these wars for worldwide looting and domination by the military-industrial complex,
mm-hmm.
even longer and more intensely, the anti-communist propaganda was used to justify the Korean War, the Vietnam War, every intervention, every CIA overthrow from Mossadegh in Iran to establishing death squads in Central and Latin America that
mm-hmm.
took the lives of millions of people on the part of the U.S. military-industrial complex, the CIA, all in the name of anti-communism. And I recommend a source of Dr. Michael Parenti, michaelparenti.org, michaelparenti.com, I believe. He documents how from the Operation Mighty Wurlitzer after the Second World War, all of the top elements of the American media got together with the CIA to paint the, as they said, the Soviet Union and communism in the most frightening, dark, and forbidding light to justify what Truman's plans were for establishing hundreds or really thousands of military bases around the world and military interventions around the world. I think this led to some satellite anti-communist propagandists like the John Birch Society and others that were pretending to be populist, pretending to oppose the elitists and the establishment, but were really the most extreme, rabid version of this anti-communist propaganda poison that justified the killing of millions of lives in Korea, Vietnam, and as I say, these coups around the world. Now even to the extent of killing Americans on our own soil with a project, Operation Northwoods, which was set up by the Joint Chiefs of Staff of all the military to kill American by bombing Miami, Washington, and other cities, falsely blaming it all on Cuba,
yeah.
and using it as a justification to invade Cuba. This was also done in the name of anti-communism. So I think there's a real danger here that in the name of opposing the New World Order, you're really actually supporting it with this more extreme version of anti-communist propaganda than even the military-industrial complex has been pushing, and even beyond the point where they feel a need for it now that they've in their mind that they've destroyed or collapsed the Soviet Union, because ultimately their plans are to attack China, and they will dust off this old anti-communist hysteria again to justify their plans, as they stated in the Project for New American Century, of limiting any obstacle, what they consider an obstacle, towards total U.S. Military-industrial Anglo-American world domination. And that that obstacle will be China, not because they're threatening us, not because they're out to get us, but simply because they exist. And in a situation where they will be able to have trade that will in some way prevent the United States from dominating the Far East. So I think that we've got to be very, very careful about not falling into this anti-communist propaganda camp. The original concentration camps in the United States were done by the McCarran Act, the Humphrey-McCarran Act, in the name of anti-communism, to establish the first emergency laws, to declare martial law, and the first concentration camps were tentatively set up to put people into those under the in the name of anti-communism. So I think we got to be very careful about pushing this this anti-communist propaganda. We almost had a fascist takeover in the 30s, where Roosevelt was opposed by the biggest bankers like Rockefeller, Mellon, and others, General Motors. They had a plot to overthrow the Roosevelt administration in league with Hitler and Mussolini, and then because they considered him some kind of a communist. All he was trying to do was save capitalism by giving a few more crumbs to the working people who were clamoring almost for the revolution. So we've got powerful elements in the military-industrial complex here that have used anti-communist propaganda, much of it concocted. Much of these defectors have been exposed as working for the CIA. If they want to get special treatment over here, they come over here and they put their name to a propaganda tome, ghostwritten by the CIA, to put the Soviet Union in the worst possible light to justify huge trillion-dollar military budgets and interventions. So I think we really it breaks my heart to see this network and other networks doing such good work about opposing the lies that are dragging us into a perpetual war and fascist police state measures when it comes to fighting the anti-terrorist lie, the lies that are used to drag us in on a war on terrorism pretext. Yet at the same time, are laying the groundwork for these same warmongers to drag us into a war with China or North Korea or against Cuba, which has been leading the fight against the New World Order for decades at the various forums, calling for totally disobeying the IMF, the World Bank, and not agreeing to these NAFTA-GATT agreements that are going to impoverish the Latin American countries in favor of the bribed leaders that the CIA and the IMF buy off with Swiss bank accounts. These are the people, I'm really disheartened to see that in the final analysis, some people with these, in my opinion, anti-communist delusions that have been created by the CIA over the years as the mother's milk of everything that has led us into war in behalf of the military-industrial complex, is going to lead us into a bigger war, even than in Iraq, against North Korea or China, or to attack a country that I think has been fighting valiantly the New World Order, Cuba. So
Are you trying to say that Cuba is trying to fight the New World Order?
Absolutely. Absolutely. At every international forum, they have said, do not, for the last 30 years, go along with these types of privatization schemes, the takeover of your water and the
rest of it. Okay, now let me interrupt you now.
To the IMF and the World Bank.
Hold on now. We went to Southeast Asia to save South Vietnam from communism. And time out. I let you talk for a period of time. Now listen to me now. We went over to Southeast Asia to save South Vietnam from communism. We had rules of engagement there. The North Vietnam was supplied by Communist China and Soviet Russia. The supplies continued to come in. We left the South Vietnamese in 1973 to fend for themselves. They ran out of cartridges and bullets for their guns, and they succumbed to communism. We let it happen. Communist Cuba stay the way it is, and the people of Cuba don't like the government that they have.
Yes,
that's
they
why they come over to this country.
Well, no, the reason that actually we've been waging a 45-year war of terrorism. We've blown up through the CIA a Cuban airliner, killing all 73 people aboard. That terrorist is right now in this country asking for political asylum, Jose Luis Posada Carriles. We've used germ warfare against Cuba over the years. We've murdered some of the people.
I'm not standing up for our country. Now, wait a minute. Time out. Now, wait a minute. John, I'm on your side. I'm saying that there's an element inside our government to bring us into a totalitarian one-world governmental system. And it's being engineered by people that want a communist world government.
No, they want a fascist world government. They want they are deadly opposed to what they call communism, whether it's real communism.
Now, how can that be when the Communist Party USA is alive and well and working very well to engineer their directions? Well, let's continue with you, John. Stay with us. All right, and welcome back to the broadcast, the National Intel Report with John Stadmiller. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John today and tomorrow at this time slot. I'm most impressed with the callers and their information and their thoughts. I'm most impressed with you, John, in Ohio. You're frustrated. You're upset. You're uptight. You're not understanding where to pinpoint the direction. And the unfortunate situation is you're feeling the brunt of everybody in this country that is not educating themselves. I want you to hear this. It's communitarianism is the political system of the 21st century. That's communitarianism. It is neither left or right. It is a balance between collectivist communism and individualist libertarianism. Both sides are created by global merchants and elite. All conflicting sides lead us to the same fascist solutions. Communitarians rely on dialectic logic. They're the ones who have established the need for limiting civil liberties. We're opposed to communitarian fascism. This is the Anti-Communitarian League. They reject as phony all sides that further their wars, terrorism, expanded police powers, etc. Global interventions, U.S. community and redevelopment. Now, what I want you to do, John, do you have internet access?
I go to the library for mine.
Oh, okay. You don't have internet access. There's where you're that's where you're losing the boat.
Well, I use the internet very much, and I believe that I'm for preserving the Bill of Rights and all and constitutional protection.
Well, we need to
at the same time, I believe that anti-communism is an even larger propaganda poison that's
okay.
used to drag us into war.
I got you. I understand. Do me a favor. Can you go to the law library tomorrow?
Sure.
Go to my website and go to the Anti-Communitarian League. It's one of our partner websites. Research the Anti-Communitarian League and give me a call back tomorrow at this time slot and see what you come up with that doesn't make a little more sense to you than what you've been talking about today.
Well, I've been around for a long time. I think I know quite a bit about the libertarians, the Birchites, and the rest of it.
Talking about that.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Have you ever heard of the Third Way?
Oh, of course, and that has nothing to do with that's just a pretended alternative that Blair and Clinton used to push even further right from their right-wing position.
Right, left, it makes no difference when communitarianism comes into the picture.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about, for instance, Vietnam. We dropped more bombs on that country than all countries in every front in the Second World War. That little country that had no real Air Force or Navy. The Chinese and the Russians been sending a Navy and Air Force. They didn't bomb with more bombs than were dropped in the Second World War.
Yeah, but what are we doing right now in Iraq? What are we doing right now in Iraq?
Exactly.
Another Vietnam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In that case, it was justifying the name of anti-communism to crush a country that was trying to go its independent way. And in this case, it's the same motive, only they use the anti-terrorist pretext.
But listen, John, I got a lot of calls here. What happens when we go into a country and we just devastate that country? What happens when we leave? The UN stays. The UN comes in. The UN has control. And that's just exactly what's happening right now. With Iraq.
Well, Iran, the United Nations is nothing but a weak pawn of the United States 90% of the time. The 10% it isn't, the United States just kicks it aside contemptuously and says,
yeah, but
you don't know
about
what you're
the
doing.
State Department?
No,
what about the State Department?
The State Department is one part of the whole
the
military.
State Department is engineering all this.
Well,
the State Department has the United States mission in the United Nations.
United Nations is no boogeyman. It's a total pawn of the United military-industrial complex.
Now, listen to this. This is from Kim Holmes, Assistant Secretary for International Organization Affairs. He says, we have many international organizations in which to advance our foreign policy, and one of those is the United Nations, which is so prominent in the news today. How come you never pinpoint anything and put it on the doorstep of the State Department?
Well, they're going to use the UN when they can, and they have used them.
I'm asking you right now when you're blaming. Hold it. I'm asking you right now when you're blaming our country and you're actually glorifying Fidel Castro when you don't connect the dots to the State Department and how they're implementing the New World Order direction.
They're doing it through anti-communism. They're doing it through anti-terrorism. They're doing it for the last decades of more than half a century using anti-communist propaganda. When that was no longer useful, they're using the phony anti-terrorist pretext. In both cases, they're fabricated. They're false. They're used to justify the looting.
Okay, we've got to move on now. What's your solution?
I think the solution is to get the accurate information, 911truth.org or workers.org or WSWS.org.
Now listen, you're trying to put blame where it's supposed to be, but have you ever heard of Agenda 21?
Yes.
Do you know what Agenda 21 is?
Some of the things, I don't know if it's one of some of the fabrications that were attributed to the Communist Party. That was concocted by Goebbels. This 40-plank thing was actually a disinformation concocted by Goebbels, picked up by Edgar Hoover, picked up by the John Birch Society, and forever since has been circulated as true. It's false.
No, are you saying Agenda 21 is false?
I don't know about that, but the...
This is where you need to concentrate right now.
Is it the 40 planks of the so-called Communist Party?
No.
It's a ridiculously comic book fabrication.
Now listen, go to the library tomorrow and study Agenda 21. Go to stopagenda21.com, go to my website, look at Agenda 21, and call me tomorrow and see what you'd come up with.
Okay?
Thank you, John. And certainly I gave him a lot of time. I apologize, but... listeners, we've got to connect dots and understand the big picture in play. I'll be right back with Richard in Alabama and your calls at 800-313-9443.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back. I can't remember that I've had a better time on talk radio than this time today, talking and intermingling with you out there. The relief, you're all very educated, you're all very concerned, and you're all trying to come to the conclusions of understanding the big picture in play. We can do it together, we can work on this together, but I do recommend that you study Agenda 21. It's being implemented in every country in the world. Before the invasion of Iraq, Saddam Hussein was not implementing any portion of Agenda 21. Now it's being implemented, and the UN is ready to help rebuild Iraq right now. And we are the United Nations system, because if we stop the funding of the UN system, it completely collapses. It's a tool of the State Department. The State Department, according to Ralph Epperson, was infiltrated by communist agents in the 1930s. It had to be taken over, the State Department. We lost many soldiers in Korea, in Vietnam, the Second World War, for the UN system. The United Nations was formed on January 1st, 1942, barely a month after the attack on Pearl Harbor, which was a pre-planned event. We knew Pearl Harbor was going to be bombed, and the information was not sent to our leaders at Pearl Harbor. Anyway, I can understand people's frustrations. Let's go to Richard in Alabama. Richard, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, and I want to thank John for giving up enough time to have a commercial.
Which John are you talking about?
Your last guest.
Yes.
I want to explain where the voting strength, the bedrock foundation of the New World Order is. And it's in all of these new Americans who have American birth certificates, but they have ethnically based citizenship from their parents' or grandparents' country. They don't have a driver's license number, don't have a driver's license. Their employers don't pay any income tax. And they don't have to honor any demands that they appear in traffic court. They can just pretty well thumb their nose at the system. And there's a growing number of these little foreign corporations that are buying up our so-called industrial parks and taking them off the tax rolls so that all the homeowners have to pay higher and higher taxes. In other words, we're turning into two classes here. One class that's going to be terribly abused by the government, and another class that's going to be like a little royalty. And the royalty will be nearly all non-white. And the whites will be forced to suffer under onerous property taxes and onerous income taxes and all sorts of harassment from our little quasi-in-rim courts and all the troopers and the police and the roadblocks. And all of these foreigners will be able to just take their little consular ID or their foreign passport and just pass on through. And
yep,
they'll have no problem. They'll probably get themselves a little magnetic strip embedded in their car. So they'll just pass. They'll just get waved on past. But the dumb white folks will have to get stopped and searched and robbed. And we'll get stuck with needles. And just eventually we'll all be killed. And because we will not fight back. And we all want to be good multiculturalists. And we all want to get along with all the dark immigrants from all the other countries. And
well,
there's no other country on the world that wants any white immigration.
Now, Richard, what's the best way to destroy a country?
Well, there's a lot of different ways.
How about flooding it with immigration where they can't communicate with each other?
Yeah.
They have no knowledge of our constitutional republic, which has been set on hold since 1933. We really don't know what it's like to live under a constitutional republic. They tried to bring about a constitutional convention at one time. That was shot down. But the point is, yes, the way to destroy a country is to immigrate it. And those that participate in immigrating our country, I have a friend that can't find a girlfriend here, doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about girlfriends and women. He's quite old, and he's reaching a point in his 30s that he's got to find a wife and get married and have a family. So what is he doing? He's going off to Russia to find a wife. Now,
well, that's about the only choice he's got.
Well, but the point is, with what's going on today, with what's happening around us today, why in the world would anybody in their right mind start a family?
Well, the plan is to do away with this entirely.
Come on, he's going to raise children. They're going to be global citizens. I made a decision in 1975 not to have a family just because of this that we're going through today. But the point is that, you're right, they're immigrating our country on purpose, but it's being engineered by the State Department, the U.S. Mission of the United Nations. The U.N. system is big. It's a monster, and people aren't paying attention to this. John in Ohio was stating that the U.N.'s inconsequential. That is the biggest form of ignorance that I've ever heard in my life, because you can see all the websites. You can see all the directions that are going on, and we're funding the U.N. to billions of dollars.
Yeah, well, it's virtually the same. It's merged.
Well, we've been a vassal state of the U.N. system for years.
The white people need a Martin Luther King, except we should not blame the blacks or the Mexicans or the Chinese.
They're just pawns.
We should blame the government, always the government.
That's right. They're just pawns. They're being manipulated. Mexico's a communist country. They're allowing their people to come to this country. Vincente Fox, when I was off the air in 2002, I read something from the Associated Press where Vincente Fox said, "My people coming to America are not illegal. They're migrants under human rights treaties." And he's right.
Yeah,
they're migrants
right.
Under human rights treaties. We're a vassal state of the U.N. system being engineered by the State Department. And the Communist Party is alive and well in Iraq. I see here the Central Committee of the Iraqi Communist Party has today issued a statement dealing with recent political developments in the country, especially regarding the current political impasse. And it's quite lengthy. It's dated April 28th of 2005 from Baghdad, Iraq. But we've helped to engineer communism in Iraq.
Do they request that the U.S. troops withdraw?
I haven't read the entire portion of it, but I'm sure they would.
I'm sure they
wouldn't we love the U.S. troops to withdraw? Wouldn't we like to bring all our troops home?
I would.
Well, sure we would. And so does the Communist Party USA. But there's where the Hegelian dialectic comes in to bring us under totalitarian communist control. Now, the people of China in 1949 received a bitter lesson about the difference between what they had with Chiang Kai-shek and what they received from Mao Zedong. And millions of people died. The destruction of the family happened. And with Elian Gonzalez from Cuba, he's being indoctrinated by the Tavistock Institute. He's being indoctrinated into a communist perspective. And yet, you don't see anybody escaping this country to go to other countries, do you? But people are escaping Cuba. People want to leave Cuba.
Yeah, but America is the only place that will take immigrants anymore.
Well,
America and Britain.
America is the last outpost for the semblance of freedom. And it's slowly but surely being eroded on purpose. And the direction to bankrupt city governments is well underway, where the federal government keeps feeding the local governments their money to implement MAPS, Metropolitan Area Projects for Kids, MAPS for Kids, and directions to dumb down our population and bring in model United Nations classrooms is well underway. And here we see in the paper dated July 8th, United Nations urges solidarity in terrorism fight. Well, gee, didn't the United Nations not want us to go to Iraq to begin with? They didn't want us to go to Iraq to begin with, and yet they're ready to take over in Iraq. They're ready to rebuild Iraq. Wherever we go in Kosovo, Bosnia-Herzegovina, wherever it may be, always the United Nations stays. And there's the problem.
Well, we are the cannon fodder for the United Nations.
We have been the cannon fodder for the United Nations, and we are the cannon fodder for the United Nations, and our troops don't believe, many of them, that we are that.
They're too young.
They're not educated about it because the control in place in our military is well underway to implementing a one-world global dictatorship. And certainly that's the big problem at this point in time. Now listen, Richard, I need to move on. We're about to run out of time, but if you can get on my website, there's a lot of information there. And I'd appreciate if you check it out and give me a call when you can about what you've seen.
Right.
Thanks for the call. I can understand everyone's frustration. I appreciate your frustration. Continue to frustrate me, and I'll give you the directions. Bob in Kansas, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Bob.
Well, I'm beyond frustrated, so I'm not going to back frustrated about it.
I've been frustrated my entire life, so I just gave up being frustrated.
But, you know, back to all the semantics of these people and their different systems and plans and things like that. Why, a tyrant is a tyrant is a tyrant. Let's simplify this thing.
Okay.
You can identify a tyrant and dispatch a tyrant. That's one more tyrant that can't run your life. Period.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Don't worry about their future. Don't worry about them. They're no more than anything to be trodden down the street. And I'll tell you why. God favors that. God favors the slaughter of tyrants. I'll tell you why. We have time immemorial, when the people threw down their idols, turned their self back toward God, he always gave them the battle, regardless whether they were outnumbered or not, correct?
Okay.
That's historical. You were mentioning in the first of your program, and I'm surprised nobody brought it up, about the occult religious symbol of the
Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yes.
Right.
Well, it's got a laurel wreath around it, which is indication of godhood in Roman culture. It's got 13 stars, five-pointed stars, interlocked with a hexagram. In esoteric Freemasonry, that's calling for Lucifer to reign. It's got the head of goddess Minerva on it, which is the goddess of war. I mean, what do they need? What do they need to, you know, our men, our heroes are being condemned by Satan if they do live through it.
Yeah.
And, you see, our national seal is the same thing. It's got the hexagram interlocked with 13 pentagrams.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that I don't care if you put an pentagram right side up, upside down, up your nose, or what. It's still an occult religious symbol. You can trace it back through all the way to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
You can trace back to the hexagram back to the old Sanskrit Hindus. But each one has a goddess. They represent a goddess, a, more or less a prostitute goddess, that has sex with her own son to produce the first life forms on Earth. That's the legend behind both those symbols that are on our flag, on our money, on our national seal, and on our presidential seal. And so this country has been outside the bounds of the Constitution from day one.
So I guess you want to say, America, bend over and grab your ankles.
Oh, beyond, well, it, we don't have to. We can burn the idols and say, baby, the war's on.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to do that. They think they can inform people. Look, most of these people, as John Stadtmiller puts it, are furniture. He's correct about that. I've looked around, and they are. They're furniture. They're nothing. They're to be trodden down in the mire of the streets. There's no salt in them.
Mm-hmm.
Back to this immigration thing, that trick was pulled before in the Civil War. They, the North would have lost their rear end if it hadn't have been for them bringing in Irish immigrants to fight for the North.
Well, what a bloody mess that was.
Yeah. They had to bring in Irish immigrants or the North wouldn't have had the personnel to win.
And you know, it's just amazing that when you think about the war between the states, it was all about the position of the federal flag to go above the state flag.
Yeah, it wasn't. They could care less who they made a slave out of.
Right.
Whether it be black, white, green, or purple. I explained that to black people. You know what? They seem to understand all that.
I'll bet you.
They do. I said, well, you know, the birth certificate, the marriage certificate, that, and gun control, that was all tried on the blacks before the war. And after the war, they want to certify your birth. They want to know how many children you got. And now under that amendment that they passed, supposedly to emancipate the slaves, we have to send those certificates to the central government.
Well stated.
So we're all slaves.
Bob, I appreciate your thoughts. We're running out of time, and
I realize that, but all these people need to do is just quit trying to make a complex issue out of it. Realize that Lucifer and his companions are running things, and if they sold their soul to the devil, you're killing less than a cockroach if you take one out. So don't worry about it. You know, it's not something that's going to bother your conscience. Believe me.
Bob, I appreciate your call. Thanks. Let's move to Mike in Maryland. Mike, are you there?
Yes, great show. I talked to Mrs. Coley. She was, I went to that seminar with Pastor Butch Paul and Joyce and Dave.
Uh-huh.
Dave on Kleister, really nice lady. I read the book, really good book. The guy from John from Ohio, he's a nice guy. He's sincere. I don't like to criticize anybody, but I suspect he's slightly left of center. And I used to be at one time, but I try not to be an ideologue. Basically, we just have to drop our illusions of the left-right paradigm.
Yep.
We have to look at the situation. I was about to say the best analogy I can make with the New World Order is, you know, it's like a gambler placing bets on two different horses. They're putting their money on the fascists and the communists, but I think you probably explained it better. It's an amalgamation of the two,
yes.
Of fascism and communism. I think Clay Douglas, who I used to listen to a show until he had his motorcycle accident, he had this term called fascism, communism and combination of fascism and communism.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciate what you do with your awareness of Agenda 21. I'm going to sell one of my assault rifles and buy me a computer so I get on the Internet and
good for you.
Have more access to information and hand it out.
Yeah, good for you, Mike.
And I never thought I'd get a chance to talk to you because I listened to you during work. If you know, and people in the Bethesda, Maryland area,
mm-hmm.
You might see me driving down 270 sometimes, hunched over the steering wheel, with one eye on the road and one eye on my little Grundig radio on the dash, trying to tune it.
Pretty hard to get information, isn't it, today?
Well, it's, you know, but people like you and Alex Jones and everybody else, it's a godsend because I've undergone a paradigm shift in not just the way I view present-day life, but history and my own concept of reality has been shattered.
Yeah,
because I realize the things that you see aren't really what they are.
Well, listen. The point is, The number one partner site that I have on my website is the Anti-Communitarian League. There are a couple of ladies that have it all together. If you can at all research the Anti-Communitarian League, you really have it down well of what's being engineered.
Sure.
And Mike, I sure appreciate your call.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be back to wrap it up and a couple more calls, listeners. And what an impressive broadcast. I'm just impressed with all you callers. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're wrapping it up now. I do appreciate your calls, listeners. And sorry for the wait, Roger in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the broadcast.
Chris, yeah, you were at a disadvantage there. It takes a good 5 minutes or so to catch on about almost honest John, the communist from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Who finally got around to plying his trade here at Republic Network, and I say go for it, John. I just don't know why it took him so long. But and this is the guy, you know, a while back, you know, Karl Marx, and was it Engels, I forget, was misunderstood and I guess no doubt misapplied, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
and the notion that, you know, FDR is the one that had to sell us the socialism so that we don't fall into communism.
Yeah.
No. And so arch enemies were the Rockefellers. Oh, and the best one is when I tried to pin him down, he kept jumping ahead like a bad broken record. I asked him who it was that installed Fidel Castro in the first place. Don't jump ahead, John. And he kept jumping ahead to the phony post-removal era of Castro. So, in other words, he doesn't want to acknowledge, I guess, Reston of the New York Slimes running pseudo-intellectual cover for the Rockefellers, et cetera, who put him there in the first place. So, John, almost honest John, I should say, would no doubt have believed that Castro sprung full brow from the head of an aberrant Cuban Zeus. Sorry, I had to steal that line from the inimitable Gary Allen. God bless.
Okay, thank you very much, Roger. Good point. TJ, my friend, where are you?
Well, I'm right here. I'm waiting. We're running out of time. I'll just say you're doing a good job. You've never sounded depressed to me. You sounded like an assertive realist that stays on target, and the target should be the UN. Keep it up. I'll say goodnight.
Thank you.
Hey, tell Dennis the Menace to get on there with you again on your show once in a while.
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay,
he's a bashful fellow.
Yep.
I'll do it. Thanks, TJ. And Chimsky.
Hello, buddy.
Hi, my friend.
We're glad to hear you there.
Yes, sir.
Let's not forget, for the people that think the UN is just a big boogeyman and Agenda 21 is a joke, if they will look at Chapter 26.3, Section B, it says, establishment, where appropriate, of arrangements to strengthen the active participation of indigenous people and their communities in the national formulation of policies, laws, and programs relating to resource management and other development processes that may affect them and their initiation of proposals of such policies and programs. Meaning, in 1992, the United States signed a document at the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit saying that we have to let the Mexicans in this part of the country because it's their indigenous country, and it is mandatory for us to let them in here so they can vote to change it. This is all part of Agenda 21. Chris, it's not a boogeyman. It's real, and it's in every paper every day
in this country. Well stated.
I'm glad you're there, and now we'll hear about it a whole lot.
Thank you, Tim.
And I wanted to say thank you, John. I know you're listening. Get well, my friend. And thanks to Sandra, too. Y'all are doing a great job up there.
Thank you, Tim.
God bless y'all.
You know, Tim was the one that got us together again, so here we are. And I do appreciate the participation. I do appreciate you out there understanding the big picture in place and not understanding it. You will if you continue to listen and understand and go to AmericanExpose.com. Or stop agenda21.com. I'll talk to you tomorrow at this time slot, and soon to be on the network. Stay with us and continue to listen. Good night and God bless.